inheriting from God and just the stuff that goes with it. I like how Paul is consistently reminding us of that. You know, again, remember, if the book of Ephesus church, the book of Ephesians, is the encouragement letter. It's not a heavy corrective letter that's consistent with what Paul has taught. It's a letter of encouragement, you know, and it should encourage you. It should encourage you to take steps forward and move steps onward. This is New Year's Eve. This is the last day of this year, right? What do you have planned? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, is not to harm you but prosper you, right? Is that money prospering? No. Are we going into this lap of luxury? No. The Jews are going into 70 years of bondage and struggle. I've been watching a little gal on YouTube shorts, and she is from North Korea. Have you seen her, the young gal? Yeah, if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see some of the postings there. And, you know, when one of their officials die, you'll see people just weeping. You're like, why are they weeping so hard? Why is this so deep for them? You understand, if they don't show that, if any one of the cops see them not weeping, that they go to prison to be killed. Give you some perspective of what Marxism and communism looks like versus capitalism. In this case, in North Korea, that the soldiers, they have to send them home on a food Sabbath. That's what I'll call it for this thing. They're not fed enough. They look like a stick pole. That's why all their military men, they always look so sharp and lean. And all. No, they're lean because they're hungry. They send them home to their families to get them fed and brought back to the full to come back to the army. Nobody has property that they own. They gave them the lie that we should all be equal and not have property. Everybody should have the same. That is just such a lie. That's not freedom. What they're doing is we'll take all the property and you'll still have an oversight, an overseer. But the one that stood out to me amongst thousands of things, you know, of twofold, is the Christians are locked up for hard labor, just like they do in China. They'll take their body parts and resell them. There's a whole industry. They get the people of faith, and they kill them. These are your brothers and sisters in North Korea. They kill them. You know, a book like this is probably hard for them if they even had a Bible, because you understand that even if you wear blue jeans out in the public square, that you're done. It's a representation of capitalism to them. You're done. Your life is over. Your family's life is over. And the part that really got me was the cops can come in and they can check your picture of their dignitaries, and they'll run their finger across the top. And if it's not clean, if there's dust on it, They're taking, she said, this happened in my family. They took the people and they kill them because they're not bringing honor as they see it, where honor is due. Isn't that amazing? That's why I always speak so heavily against Marxism, because it's anti-God. There is no God in that, and I want nothing to do with it. It is the Marxism, in my view, is the stronghold of the enemy, period, end of story. And I want nothing to do with it here. But I want the people to come to know Jesus. They'll come to know Jesus and they'll live in true liberty. Because this other way is pure bondage. I can't even imagine what it's like for somebody to buy jeans and walk around their house. And, if somebody sees them through the window, they get turned in. Because if they knew about it and didn't turn that person in, that's problematic. It's problematic unto death. Do you understand the freedom that you have? This isn't a political thing. This isn't a pro-America thing. This is the freedom and bondage understanding of what it's like that sin entraps us when we fall prey to that. That's what it boils down to. Simple as that. We're going to read in Ephesians 4, verse 1. And it'll be on the screen. I guess you guys have noticed a little lately that we've been putting it on the screen. Some of you have various versions. I know in YouVersion we can be all on the same page, but it's up there as well. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord. Do you understand the prisoner is not somebody that got thrown in like these other ham bones are doing? This is a desire of him to be that bondservant. But he has been thrown in jail, and he's writing these epistles. You know why? The church of Ephesus heard about it, and they sent some brothers out there. And it's not like, oh, man, jump in the car. We're going to drive to Kansas. No, it's going to be on a boat. It's going to take you a while to get there. Come chill with this guy. And while he's there, he writes these letters back to Ephesus and Philippi and yada, the Philippian letter. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. I want you to hear what he's actually saying. He is begging that you live a life worthy of the calling. What calling? The one that God has placed on your life. For you have been called. You have been called by God. Can we re-look at this? Who has called you? The one that created it all? The one that made oxygen? You know, I was watching another little deal. I didn't realize this. What is this? Snow spore, something like that. With the birds in the morning, you know when they chirp, there's this little hole on this plant that opens up when the birds chirp at a certain frequency, and that frequency opens it up so it can do its breathing. The plants can do its breathing. So when you hear those birds waking you up early in the morning, they're actually waking up the plants, and that frequency caused, God thought all that stuff up. We're just figuring this out. I wish I could remember the name. I just saw it. But it opens up this little breathe hole in the plant so it can breathe its carbon monoxide. Which one is it? Dioxide, right? Dioxide? Okay, dioxide. Carbon dioxide? And it, what does it spit out? What we breathe? And then they found out there's certain places in the symphony that has that same frequency, you know? I didn't even know that. I'm not mad at birds anymore. I don't like the dogs barking next door, but the birds, okay. Okay. I'm sorry? No, roosters are from the pit of hell. So a rooster's on top of the barn. When it lays an egg, what size of barn does it go down, left or right? Huh? Stays on top. Roosters don't lay eggs, do they? Okay, good. We're just verifying here. Lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble. See the word always? Let's separate that out. In all ways, be humble. Look, when you think you're smarter than somebody else, do you realize that you have pride? That's not humility. Pride is Satan talk, period. I'm so proud of my grandson or my granddaughter or my child or this, that, or the other. Be proud of the work God is doing through you for them. But make sure that that pride isn't my kid's better than yours, you know. My kid beat up your honor student stickers. I'm like, dude, that's covetousness, right? That's just not something that's good for our hearts. Go make some other kind of comedic run, you know. Always be humble. Do you understand that it's not a point where we ever get away from this? And kind, right? Be humble and gentle. Were you trying to make effeminate men? No, you guys know better now. I don't wear pink. It ain't never going to happen. Jeremiah does. Yeah, well, I took his man card a while ago. Listen up. Serious. I'm playing around, but seriously. As a man, I am very firm, but in my firmness, I'm gentle in my approach. My heart is not there to do damage. It's like some of you guys will bust your kids when they're doing something wrong. You know, when the boys would do something wrong, I'd cup my hand to create a little air pocket and swat them on the padded bottom. You know, why did I cut my hand? To make sure there was an air pocket there. It was just there to get their attention. I didn't jump into beating on the kids. I don't believe in that. I think you can do so much with words. You just have to spend the time using your words and then shake them up when they need to be shook up. Not shake a baby kind of shake, but shake up their little world, right? Look, your anger cannot go down into your arm. Same thing with motorcycling. You don't let your anger go into your throttle. You don't let your anger go into your foot when you're driving a car. That is the pinnacle of stupidity. You're going to get yourself hurt, and even more so, you're going to hurt somebody else, and you're going to hurt your family along the way. Do you understand the idea of gentleness? Do you understand of humility? Let others go by Let them go by you. Just go on, dude. I don't need you in my life in the sense of you're bringing this stress. Do you realize we live in a part of the country that has about 3 million cars on the road? Do you think I care what the guy's doing? I'll never see him again. You know? Always be humble. Always have a gentleness in you. The gentleness is simply this. It's restraint. It just means to restrain yourself from what you think you could do. Right? Always be gentle. Always be humble. Be patient with each other. Make allowance for each other's fault because of your love. I want you to know right now, I am perfect just the way I am. Why are you laughing? Aren't you seeing my sin on display? Aren't you seeing that I think I'm right in every situation and you're wrong in every situation? What did I hear? Did Mary Lou say blasphemy?
No.
Mary
Lou, Josh,
do you see how that looks? You're not always right. I am not always right. I have to, Jeremiah and I poke a lot of fun at each other. Let me tell you right now, there is so much love. I remember seeing him and Johnny on the road one time. It's his younger brother. And it was one of the first times we had some Olympic gold medal winners for bikes. What do you call it?
BMX,
thank you. And they were here. We had this wonderful opportunity. And I'm driving down one of the side streets, and I see these two clowns walking down the road, right? And I love them because it's like my age at one time. And I said, hey, you guys want to come to this? You know, like, yeah, thanks. You know, first there was this like, what? And they're like, oh, free? Okay, yeah, food? Okay, ooh, okay, right? And they came and it got snowed out. But you know what? What was cool was for 2.5 hours, the guys got one-on-ones with these Olympic gold medal riders. And here he is today. And there's a lot of clowning going on. But you know what? In the deeper wells of our heart and our mind is an intense love, is an intense love and caring. Is Jeremiah perfect? Am I perfect in our relationship? No. We've had our challenges along the way, right? I mean, self-inflicted, right? And but does that change the love? No. I don't want him like me. Do you understand? I don't want to be like him. I don't want him to be like me. It's not how this works. We are created with a uniqueness. Do you know how to sneak up on a unique rabbit? Unique up on him. Okay. Look, you have a uniqueness to you. It needs to remain that. When you're loving people, you have to love them through the hard stuff. Why do you think we always say, love people where they're going, love people where they're at, love them where God is taking them? Because once you put conditions on love, you have stymied this relationship, you will now stymie other relationships. Do you understand? It will fester in you, and it'll get a kind of a cancerous outcome as far as doing damage to the joy that you have. He's given us this. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. See, Paul is calling out the love that overcomes all this other silliness. Listen, it doesn't say, well, consider it. It says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. How are we united in the Spirit? Because whatever he wants will be conveyed to each other. She had a song here that was on her heart. I had a song that was on my heart, and a couple of them matched up with each other. We didn't even talk about it. You know, it was the Holy Spirit saying, this is what I want to put forth, right? One of them was that last song about the waves, the rain comes down, and it wipes out all the sin. Can you imagine being one of the players there that was not on Noah's family? And all of a sudden, you're getting rain that never happened, and everything's muddy, and you're like, man, is this ever going to stop? And then the water's up to your waist. Man, is this ever going to stop? And then it's up to your chest level, and now you're dog paddling, and the water's not going to go away. You are going to drown to death because of sin. Smoking marijuana, drinking, lying, cheating, all of those kinds of things, anger, killing one another, all of those kinds of things were happening. They were just happening. You know, their minds were being altered by the world. Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine dying like that? But guess what? That rainbow, it means one thing alone, that God will never deal with sin that way again. Oh, he still deals with sin. And oh, by the way, he still has that, what we would see as fury, he sees as righteous anger. Do you understand? He will deal with sin inevitably, and obviously the cross is part of it, but there'll be the final battle. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Do you know what peace means? I am not going to war with you in this relationship. I'm going to find the way, because Christ is going to show through his Holy Spirit the way to work things through, right? Just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future, there is what? One Lord, right? There is one faith in verse 5. There's one baptism. There is one God, the Father of all, who is over all, in all, living through y'all. All, right? Huh? Yeah. Verse 7. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scripture says, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all of the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Can you imagine? I know Elon Musk is wanting to plant on Mars, right? Oh, we're going to colonize. Relax. He's going to plant on Mars. Christ is already there. What? Yeah, he's on the sun. He's at Pluto. He's at whatever O out in the skies. It's right here. That he might fill the entire universe with himself. This is what we talk about, living in heaven in a sinless existence for all of our days, because Christ is thoroughly and fully there. Well, look, we don't have that full understanding. We get the opportunity and the privilege to practice leniency with one another, to practice long-suffering with each other, to practice grace and mercy, and more so mercy, with each other. No more are you to live this other way. It's not best for you. It brings a disdain. What is something that you've eaten or drank lately that causes a kind of an acidic or even a bitterness to your tongue? Anything?
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew?
Yep.
It was so cool. I was talking to a guy the other day that he had drank Mountain Dew after not drinking it for a while and said it tasted like syrup, you know, instead of, and it does. And Mountain Dew is not in the Bible. Is it? Yeah.
Mount of Transfiguration is Mountain Dew, bro.
Yeah, no. There's something there. We'll have to work on it. In verse 11, now these are the gifts of Christ that Christ gave to the church. He gave the apostles, those bringing the good news, right? He brought the prophets, those doing the foretelling of the Lord. And just today is just the telling of the Lord. He brought evangelists. Those are the ones that are the evangelists. They're saying the good news, the war is over. He brought those. And pastors and teachers. Do you understand that those are gifts? When you're teaching in your home, you are a gift of God unto the listener. Do you understand? Do you understand that calling is so important? And by the way, if I live this bitterness life over here, and do you think it's going to telegraph through the rest of what I do? Of course it is. Of course it is. Because that is the filthy water that's coming up through the roots of my life. Right? I have to look beyond what I see. I spoke of this a little bit about Joan when I first saw her come into the church about 8 years ago. And she come in and she's this little tie-dye gal, you know. And, of course, I come out of that era. I'm not modeling it. I lived through it and survived. And she walked in and I was like, well, what do we have here? you know, because I didn't know it. Now, if I would have lived a life of judgmental Dave, I would have not talked to her. Do you understand? But see, when we put on the lens of the Lord, we look through and you go, that's a peculiar individual. And you know what? I talked a little yesterday about the number one thing, the number one word for me, for her, is beauty. Mm-hmm. Do you understand that application? Beauty? Did you see and do you see Joan as beautiful? Because she's just gorgeous. And that's how you are. Every one of you have that and have that ability. Not so you can pride and kiss the mirror. That's gay. We're not doing that. You look in the mirror with appreciation what the Lord is doing and has done. And you groom that body. You take care of the body that he's given you. And you go out and express the beautiness that's inside you and pour it out, not just spritzer it or atomize it. Pour it out on others and allow the Holy Spirit to do that through you. Do you understand? Do you understand? This is not little boy Christianity. This isn't playing with Tonka trucks and playing army in the front or backyard. This is real battle for real men and real women. Isn't it the best, though? Because it is a maturity that you get to dwell in. And that's a critical mass. 12, their responsibility, these groups he just spoke of, is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, not build it up as in the sense of giving it good bones, good constructive bones. Build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Do you understand the maturation here when we talk about this is big boy, big girl stuff? This is that you're not blown around like a tumbleweed on a windy day across the prairie, blown about by just anything that comes your way. No, when the winds come, you have your eyes so affixed on the Lord, no matter what happens around you. The house will blow down, the ship may tumble, yet your eyes are still on the Lord. You know? You understand those North Koreans we talked about, those North Korean Christian, our Chinese brothers and sisters that are being held in bondage or being tracked down? They have their eyes firmly affixed on the Lord. I will tell you, you need to listen. I will tell you, you need that equipping in your life this day and this day forward. Because the times aren't coming, they're already here. And I'll tell you, one of the things that scares me as much as any, not because I don't have any fears in the sense of the Lord, but societally scares me because it's such an ability to fool somebody, is AI. You can go down to on Colfax and get some amazing Ethiopian food. You can go to Colfax and get every kind of ethnic food that you can imagine. But you can also go down and pay a prostitute to do works. You can buy drugs on the same street. AI is going to have its great stuff, but I'm going to tell you right now, they've already got some stuff that's coming up on YouTube Shorts. You can't tell if that's a human or a character that's being made. And if you don't have your solid understanding in the world, you will be hook, line, and sinker into whatever, whoever's controlling that AI. Do you understand? Oh, Dave, that's just the next wave of things coming up. Yeah, I understand. The internet was designed so scientists could talk to each other about projects that they were working on. And I watched some shorts on some guys that are now, they say, you know, if you'll give us $28,000 out of your account, we'll be sending you $8 million. And people buy into that. And they lose their entire savings. Do you understand? These are some practical things of the reason to understand why you should love, why you should care, why you need to be shrewd in your dealings. Shrewd in the sense of hawkish, in the sense of a hawk can see the headlines of a printed newspaper a half a mile away with great distinction and clarity. I can barely see halfway across this building with great distinction and clarity. In 14, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead of all of that, which means but, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Did you notice he said growing in every way more like Christ, who is the head of this of his body, the church? He makes the body whole, fit, the whole body fit together perfectly. Do you understand something? That I'm not perfect, but he is perfectly unifying you unto one another and unto others that don't know him yet. I mean, isn't that cool? I don't know about you, but this is one place I can come to where I can actually Selah a bit. I can breathe a little bit because I know the people in this room have no direct intention to bring harm to one another. Can you get that everywhere you go? Be clear. You can, right? Not really. Some places. I'm not saying this is exclusive. Let's not get caught up on that. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. Look, did you go in and go into the potty and sit on a very nice clean commode today? Or stand and wash your hands in a clean bathroom? Did you notice that your coffee was made and there's people that care about hair in the food and making sure the coffee is made to a good caliber? Have you noticed that? They're caring for you. Each person that does those different things helps this go. You guys that are the after cleaners, thank you for doing those things. Thank you for sweeping up. Thank you for letting the next persons, because there'll be another group coming at 4. There'll be another group coming in at 6. There'll be another group coming in probably around 8 or 9 tonight. Do you understand there's things that happen here beyond just Sunday? And you guys are a great part of taking care of those things. I see you working with each other. I hear of you texting one another and taking care of each other's needs and praying for each other. I saw you yesterday show up. I hear your prayers when I need them. Do you understand? To see the beauty of you guys integrating with the Holy Spirit, thus integrating with one another, doing amazing works of the Lord. Oh my gosh, what a beautiful sight to see. And each one of you are part of that. Your sleepy little faces this morning. Right? You know what's going to be cool? Not a one of you in here are going to go out and get drunk tonight. Every... So, you know what? Let me tell you something. Each and every one of you here are going to wake up tomorrow clear-headed and enjoy the day. Isn't that amazing? I remember when I was a younger guy, I woke up at the crack of 3 p.m. still drunk in my younger years. Do you see the difference? This is where you are today. This is where you are now. What scripture am I on, please? My phone... 16, thank you. The reason I use the electronic Bible, it's the only one that I have that has a dyslexic font on there because I flip my words and paragraphs around. You guys that have been with us a while used to see me sit up here and shake my head, and I was like shaking the words in my mind, you know, so it kind of goes, comes and goes. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. With the Lord's authority, I say in verse 17, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander from the life of God, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. Listen, real quick, when you model that, do you understand what you're trying to model when you live like the world? Do you understand this? You're living like the godlessness of people. That's not what we do. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. I like when I hear instead and but. That means okay this, but no this, right? In verse 21, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deceit. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Do you hear this? Truly righteous and holy. The truth means without fault, without lie. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work. If you are doing drugs, stop it. Instead, use your mind for good works. Are you lying? Stop it. Use your voice to edify others. Do you see how the different applications can be? And give generously to the others in need. Now, that can be financial giving, but let me tell you something. Giving of yourself unto others is also a form of giving. Do you understand? You got a couple of cans of beans on the shelf? Give them both to somebody else. Give one to somebody. Better yet, better than either, have them over to your house and have a meal together and sit down in fellowship. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of, listen, this is stuff you're taking out with the trash. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all rage. Do we have that screen up, please? I need you to, can you stay focused on that? Thank you. I'm in verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all rage. Get rid of all anger. Get rid of all harsh words. Get rid of all slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Isn't that wild? You know? I love how Paul is giving these encouragements. He says, with all authority, back on 17, you know? He's talking about you have this authority. The title of the message is, what skin are you in? What are you clothed in? What is your meat, as we call it, a meat sack, you know? Oh, I'm just a meat sack. Careful with that. Because God has created you with an amazing uniqueness that's going on there, right? What skin am I in? I want to be clothed in righteousness from the inside to the outside. I don't want to be stuck in it. I don't want to be like the Gentiles. Their minds are darkened. They wander from the life of God. Do you see that? That's not you. Can you imagine what it would be like if you are, let's say you're a child in a family, and you decide to wander from the family and go off over and do all this crazy stuff? Do you understand you're no longer part of that family dynamic? Because you've wandered out here to the side. That's not how we're to be. We're not wanderers in the sense of worldliness. Is this tracking with anybody? Because if it's not, ask God to retrack you. They have no sense of shame, it said in Scripture in verse 19. Do you think today people have no sense of shame? Do you see that? You know what shame is? It's doing things that your soul is embarrassed by. There's things that I've done in my life. I would hide things from my parents. Anybody hide things from your parents? Oh, hands come flying up, right? Do you know why? Because it's shameful. There's no way you would have done that in front of your mom or dad. And by the way, if you did in pride, you were a fool. And if your parents modeled that, they were a fool too. You can't hide from God. You know what David says, where can I go? Where I can go the highest of highs or the depth of Sheol, and you're still there. You can't hide. I'm going to shut the lights out that nobody can see me, and I'm just going to be a sinner stupid. No, you're still seen by God. You see this zero sense of shame. It is wide open spaces. Listen, Noah Webster, 1828, is the guy that originated the American Dictionary. When I look up words, I like type in 1828 colon and whatever word that I have, and I'll get these. Because Google doesn't give me scripture reference. Noah Webster does. A painful sensation excited or stirred up by a consciousness of guilt or having done something which injures reputation. This is shame. Or by that which nature or modesty prompts us to conceal. That's kind of wordy, huh? That's doing stuff we know we shouldn't do, but we're going to do it anyway. Why are we going to do it anyway? Because we're prideful. You go look at some of these people blabbing up somebody that's trying to talk to them about Jesus. Their pride is loud, and it's so arrogant. There is no respect in that sense for themselves, and they're going to spew the lies out on whoever will listen. You know, it's shame. I like what Rambler says. Shame prevails when reason is defeated. Shame prevails when reason or reasonableness is defeated. That's why good men, good women need to stand in the gap for others. It's a contemptuous. The word that really came to me is dishonor and disgrace. You know what disgrace is? The absence of grace. That's what shame is. And that's what these, why are you following them? It says it makes no sense. They have no sense of shame. They live life for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Do you understand what that's like? That's like being a whore, male or female. Sorry for the graphic nature of this, but that's what it's like. There's no way I'm going to whore my wife. There's no way she's going to whore me. Do you understand? And we have no desire to whore the Lord at all, ever. Shame. I like this encouragement. Don't be like the world. You flip that around, it means be likened to God and the things thereof Him, right? It says, but it isn't what you, that's not what you learned from Christ. You did not learn to whore from Christ. You learned to be whole in Christ and complete. You learn the truth that only comes from Him, he says. I like that part. It's not, oh, this is my truth. Have you heard that bantered about for quite some time? Oh, what's your truth? Well, tell me your truth. No, your truth is stupid because there's one truth. I am the way, the capital T, truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Well, that's your truth. No, that's His truth. And I have been conformed to His truth by the changing through the Holy Spirit for me. Well, my life, my truth. I heard one gal that she was saying, she was debating with a person saying, I'm God. I am God, and you guys are all living in my dream. You're stupid, and so is your God, because you're saying you're God, right? Can you imagine that? You guys are not really here. You're living through my truth, but you're not really here. You're all a dream. Let me hit you with a 2x4. I'll show you how awake I'm going to be when you get back at me with the same 2x4. I don't care what other books say. Listen, I don't care what books say. They're not breathed into by the Holy Spirit. They are not inspired. To inspire, you've blown up a balloon and you let it go and it goes, right? When you blew it up, it was inspired. It was filled with air. When you loosed it, it made a... It expired. When you stop breathing, you expire. When you breathe in, you inspire. Expire. Do you remember that from a few weeks ago? That's God's name spelled out in every breath that you breathe without moving your mouth to shape it. Wild, huh? The very first breath of oxygen you will speak, breathe in, will be His name. Your last, the expiration of your last breath will say, Yahweh. Not wild? You hear how quiet it is? These men were breathed into, period, by the Lord, thus sanctified. I don't want to hear what other people have to say, in the sense I've already been down your road and I'm bringing sensibleness to the situation because the Holy Spirit demands that of me in my life, and I go willingly, as do you. Do you understand? I don't want anybody to die apart from Jesus. Not a one of them. I want them all to come to know the Lord. So we got to throw off this sinful nature, he says in 27. Your former ways, you know. Let me ask you a question. Do you leave your front door of your dwelling unlocked when you go to bed? Do you leave the door cracked when you go to bed? Do you leave the door wide open all the time? Why do you close your front door? I know it's cold outside, so let's go beyond that. Why do you close your door?
Privacy.
Privacy, okay, what?
Security.
Security, okay. From what?
Monsters.
Huh?
From monsters.
From monsters?
Protection.
Okay, from what? What was that?
Protection.
Protection? Keep
things out.
Huh?
Keep things out.
Keep things out? So you allow that door, you allow that wall we call a door to be closed, right? Do you know that when you're angry, you allow that door to be open? Your anger is about unmet expectations. Something happened that did not meet your expectation, so you're angry about it. Jot that down. Examine it for later. When you allow anger, and that's a self-inflicted anger, to live in your life, you open the door for a foothold, not a toehold, but an actual foothold. Do you know what? Can you bring me the ladder that's in that room, Hustle? A foothold. Look, we think of, oh, he's got a little foothold on a crag, a crag on a wall that he's climbing. No, 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 no. It's not a toehold. It's a bona fide foothold. Thank you so much. When you allow sin to come into your life, look at that step. Is that a foothold? Yes? No? Look, a toe hold is like this. A pinky hold? This is a foothold. This is a foothold. And this is a foothold. Do you understand? When we have sin, when we have anger, the enemy has firmament and a foothold. But he can only take what you give him. He can't do it of his own. He can oppress, but he can't overcome. You can be burdened, ask Job, allowed by God. You know what happens when you gain a foothold? You want another one. And when that one comes, another one's desired. Tell me it isn't. You guys want coffee, you get out of here and you take a foothold every step to go get your coffee or go to the bathroom or go horse around out front, right? When you leave here, you're going to take multiple footholds to get in your foothold car and foothold the speed by putting your foot on the accelerator. And when you want to stop, you're going to foothold stop. You just told me that you keep your front doors closed for security, protection, weather, elements, all the above. Yet we got to make sure the foothold of our soul is guarded by that door being closed. Dave, what do I do when I have anger? Take it to the Lord and let him have the outcome of what you're mad about. I just want that guy to get straight with things. Well, he's got to get straight with the Lord first, and you're not him. Because when we don't forgive or we want justice, we're playing God. And that's not our job. You know what our job is? Look, do this. This is our job. We point people to the Lord. Did you know that? You know what was said about Joan? She talked about, what did your mom tell people they needed to do in their life? Huh? Keep your eyes on Jesus and go to church. Go to church. Isn't that something? I love that. Every person that we've heard of from their celebration of life had some formula of that in their life, right? We don't leave footholds open for the door. We don't do it. Don't answer. Do you have a foothold open right now in your life? Just think about it. Think it through. Write it down. Text it down. Do you have a foothold open that Satan has taken in your life? Then you claim that ground in the name of Jesus and close that door, lock it, break the key off. Don't open that door again. You've lied. You maybe not have kept your word. You have angered at somebody that's a creation of the Lord. You've been mad. You've wanted things your way. And every one of those things allow a foothold into your life for the enemy. Do you understand? These are what we're talking about, is how to protect from that. Get your eyes on the Lord. Love like him. Gentleness. All of that. Right? I don't want anybody in my back. You know what? Insurance. If you have a swimming pool or a, what do you call those things you jump up and down? Trampoline.
Sorry.
That's a trampoline or a swimming pool in your backyard. Did you know that insurance company won't cover if somebody comes in and breaks their neck on the trampoline or expires from
insurance
getting?
Will cover that.
They won't cover it if you do not have a locked door that has a spring to auto close. Did you know that? Just from the enticement alone. I'm like, to me, that doesn't make sense. That's my yard. What are you doing in my yard? You know? But that's how insurance companies do. Well, you know what? I want that spring door locked because I want to be close to the Lord. And that door will close and remain closed. I don't want food. Do you want a foothold of the enemy in your life? Yes or no? Why? He's got so much to offer. He'll give you the world. You sure? Yeah. Well, you know, Satan's love language is to maim, kill, and destroy. Do you know what a maiming looks like? Try some of the African films when a cheetah is chasing down some kind of slow or old animal or young. And then you see it rip with its jowls, it rips its flesh out of it, or it take its claws and it'll rip a leg off. What do you think that animal, if it lived, what would it look like? The stripes would look like claw marks, right? If it was a zebra. That's maiming. To kill, that's the end of life. Destroy everything that's its life's lineage as well. I want soulful sobriety. Say it. Soulful sobriety. That's what we're talking about here. At the end of the day, we're talking about that our souls are sober-minded. I can't allow the world to show me anything that is mattersome. I'm not going to watch the ball drop tonight. I'm not staying up that late. I'm not going to do it. We're not going to drink champagne and kiss. I'm not doing all that. It's too late. I'll kiss you later. Here, have some sparkling cider. You know, here's some water. Let's read scripture together. You know, let me text an old friend or an old family member let me thank God for those that have left before me. You know, instead, renew, he says in 23. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Truly. Do you want to be drawn to lust or lies? I don't. I want to desire after the Lord and truth and not desire after lust and lies. Because it takes me nowhere, not one place. Do you want to have your life shaped by lust and lies? And you know, some of you will say no pretty quickly, or you'll be just like, that's a no-brainer, that's not going to happen. Why? Because you know what it's like to have been trapped in lust and lies. Okay, now we've talked a lot about ourselves, but you need to understand the people that you're engaging with are trapped in this worldliness that we've just spoken of. Excuse me. Test. See, we have talked about how to get along with each other. And when we learn how to get along with each other, now we can show other people how to get along with others. Do you understand? When you learn how to no longer allow footholds come in your life, you can now teach that to somebody else. Do you understand? You see how that propagates? Go to Matthew on the board, please. Matthew 3. Or Matthew 5. Yep, 5, verse 3. Verse 1. One day, I'm going to read here. There's some up here. One day, he saw the crowds gathered. Jesus went up to the mountainside, sat down. His disciples gathered around him. Just keep going. We're going to rush through it. And he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. For the kingdom of God is there. Stop right there. Do you see where it says, God bless those who are poor? We stop with that and think it's a financial cause. The next part of the sentence says it and realizes their need for him. This is a spirit, a soulful absence of sobriety. They have gotten to the end of their realm. There's nothing else they can do. Next line, please. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This is not a death day deal. They're mourning over this life spent poorly. This is a progression of the facts of a person in Christ. Look, I mourn over lost time that I spent in worldliness. Next slide, please. God blesses those who are humble, for they are inherit the whole earth. Look, what's happened now is you've realized this vacuousness. You're mourned over the life. Now there's, and some time has happened. Now there's this time, and some of it can happen quick. But now there's this hunger. Can we go back to the former? Verse 5, thank you. God blesses those who are humble, they'll inherit the whole earth. Look, what's happened is they're no longer wanting to live for self because they've already seen the death of that, and now the sadness of that, the mourning of that. Now they're going, okay, I know this. What does it look like? Everything that you did in difference, in opposition, please, the next. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, justice, and they will be filled. So watch this. Go back, stay with it for just a minute. Watch this. This is one of the first acts that happen when you now are hungry. You have been filling yourself with the world. I've been filling myself with Mountain Dew, the little fella said. But now when you find out water by itself is plenty cool, you're like, you're not hungering for that, man. You always say, I thirst. You know, I just need a drink of water. My body's dry. I think you had that this morning. Man, can somebody just give me some water, right? You're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness because you've been caught up in the world. And guess what? It'll be given to you. You'll be satisfied. Watch this. Go ahead. God blesses those who are merciful, for they'll show mercy. That is the first attribute of a person that has spent being filled with righteousness of God. You'll show mercy that you don't even want to talk to that individual. But now you're going to give them consideration. You're not going to give them what you think. I'm not going to talk to that person ever again. No. Go ahead. Next slide, please. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they'll see God. Do you understand what's happened? That God has so poured into you now that your hearts are no longer darkened. You are a new creation. Do you understand? This is spelled out. This is Jesus spelling it out for us. Next slide, please. God blesses those who work for peace, and they'll be called children of God. We say sons of God, right? So watch this. Now that you're hungered, you're filled, you're showing mercy, now you're helping others to come along, be a peacemaker in their life. It's not settling a fight between mom and dad or child and foe. This is the war between saints, sinners, and Jesus. You're going out doing the work of the Lord. You'll be called sons of God because you're making peace. You're part of the Holy Spirit using you to bring people to the loving, graceful knowledge of the Lord. And guess what? That's the work you've been called to do. Next slide. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Dude, you're going to get persecuted to speak the name of Jesus and not in Christian-only environments. It's just going to happen. We got bigger fish to fry, and it's not these little tit-for-tat things that are going on. There is a universe of people that need to come to know the Jesus that we know. Next slide, please. God blesses you when you're mocked, when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Do you understand the progression? This poor is poor in spirit. This mourning is mourning the life, right? This hunger and thirst for righteousness. I need something, but it can't be like that. It has to be more sustaining. And then the first thing that comes from that is mercy. And then the next thing is to go out and tell people about it. And oh, by the way, the peace has been broken up. And oh, yet, by the way, again, you're going to get persecuted, right? Because of who you are in Him. Next slide. Be happy about it. Yeah, I got my throat cut. Be very glad, for your great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Please, next slide. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Next slide. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Next. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Go ahead. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Please. Next slide. Don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses. Did you see that? The law is upheld. Or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purposes. Their purpose. Go ahead. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest details of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. Love God, love people. Go ahead. Thank you. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach each others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But instead of that, anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be great in the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand why you cannot let things happen in your life that will cause a foothold of the enemy? You cannot allow yourselves to be the same as you were before. Romans 12, 1 and 2, please. I beseech you, this is in the New King James. I beseech you, I implore, I ask with you, let everything that's inside of me, please understand this. This is what Paul is saying. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, that means set apart, acceptable from God's terms, not your terms, not defined by you, which is your, what's that word say? Here, you can still see it, but play like. It has to stand to reason. This is not a harder thing than anything that's outside. This is your reasonable service. This is just, try this, which is your normal service. Go ahead, please. And do not be conformed, what does this say? To this world. But be, this is the only word, time that trans matters. Because you're transforming from the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your, doesn't say heart, doesn't say soul, it says mind. Because the mind is off. Do you understand? We've allowed these things to come in for whatever reason, and they have altered true thinking. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Love God, love people. Isn't that wild? Do you see now how the world and you modeling that does not make sense? Because it fulfills not any purpose of God. Do you understand? That's your charge today. Is that you go out and you continue to do. Listen now, don't get all bound up on getting things packed up. You go out and you do the work of God. Dude, He loves you so much, and He loves the people you dislike. Did you catch that? That's why you got to go to the wellspring from God to get the kind of like that He is, meaning you like Him of His kind, that you'll love people. Look, I know it's not hard. I mean, it's not easy to love people you dislike. I get that. But just because I get it doesn't mean I have to stay with my line of thinking. I have to have God's line of thinking in all of these matters. And this is Paul's encouragement to us. What has God shown you today? Just speak it out. Let's not play that.
How to be Christ-minded.
Sorry?
How to be Christ-minded.